We are in Simon Tov Reish, and we are, the MS is we're in the middle of Seif Beis. Before we proceed, I just want to get back to Reb Gideon mentioned yesterday a point. I would like to get back to that because it was something which I looked into, and there is a tzad. The point mentioned was with regards to Shechionu. We mentioned the two approaches as when to say Shechionu on the second night, Rosh Hashanah. And we said either Reb Shlomo Zalman's approach, which is very mistaba, but certainly is not the minhag, is to eat the Shechionu straight after Kiddush, before actually washing. That's Reb Shlomo Zalman's approach, and he said because it's too much of a hefsek. We did point out that's certainly not the minhag, because the minhag generally tends to be to eat the Shechionu item after Hamotzi. Yeah, so far so good. Right, but that's not going to be the Shechionu. Yeah, for some of us, to eat an apple deserves the Shechionu. But generally, so the point asked was some people seem to have the Shechionu fruit for dessert. Is there any mahalach to understand that? And my answer was no. And I said there's no reason that there's no heter to wait that long, to delay that long. I'd like to retract from the statement because I saw a mahalach that actually does justify that. And it goes as follows. There is a Shechionu in Ri'i HaSpri. There is a Shechionu. We generally make a Shechionu. We don't necessarily do... Nowadays when we make a Shechionu, especially on... When we make a Shechionu generally, it's about the eating of the fruit. That is normally how we make a Shechionu. We're going to be... Right? When we eat the fruit. Not on the seeing of it. There is a concept of making Shechionu on seeing a fruit. On Ri'i HaSpri, that you're particularly excited about seeing this. Oh, look... Although it's because it's seasonal, oh look, these fruit are up again and they're growing again, and this deserves a Shechionu as well. The meaning generally is not to make a Shechionu on a Re'ias Pri. Generally, we don't make a Shechionu on a seeing of a fruit. We don't normally do that, but that's Ikra Din, a person, there is such a Baruch when he's allowed to do that.
Even if it's not his own tree.
Correct. It does nothing to do with the belonging of it. But according to that, some people want to explain that could be that Rosh Hashanah, actually the Shechionu that we do is actually based on the Re'ias Pri. If that's true, you don't actually have to rush to eat it, because the point is that you're making Shechionu on the seeing of the fruit which is placed on the table. So you're going to just see the fruit, it's going to get you excited, and that's what you're making Shechionu on. Consequently, revisiting your question as to whether there is a reason that you may want to delay and the eating of it until later, according to this mahalach, the halach will be no problem at all. Because you didn't make the shechion on eating of it, the shechion will be on the seeing of it, and that you did. Therefore, there's no problem with waiting and delaying the eating until dessert. That would be a mahalach amongst the person. No, the Ri'as Pri, is Shulchan Aruch mentions Ri'as Pri. But generally, the minhag is not to. But could be Rosh Hashanah, we are soemich on that. Yeah. Interestingly, I just thought that according to that, Reb Shlomo Zalman's psak has to be revisited, really. Because Reb Shlomo Zalman, he was very bothered about the hefsek. And Reb Shlomo Zalman said, you should eat the Shechionu straight after Kiddush. Because he was really concerned about hefsek. According to that, what do you think? Right, according to that, Reb Shlomo Zalman certainly didn't go with that mahalach of Ri'as Pri. He was very much physically the eating of it, and so he said you should eat it as soon as possible. But according to this mahalach, Reb Shlomo Zalman is actually doing it, to a certain extent, he's being meikel, because you really meant to go straight from Kiddush, you meant to go and wash. So he's really interrupting that to a certain extent. But Reb Shlomo Zalman didn't feel that you can make a bochon Ri'as Pri, so that, therefore he did his approach. But I just wanted to go back to your point. Okay, I just want to, before we move on with Siv Gimel, which is the Hemshech, I just want to point out an interesting Siv Kotten Dalet in Mishneh Berurah. Mishneh Berurah and Siv Kotten Dalet points out something really interesting in the middle. He speaks about grapes, and he says, I'm just going to start the first three lines without going too much into it. The first three lines of the Mishneh Berurah, it's the fourth line within the Mishneh Berurah, but let me just start from the beginning. Siv Kotten Dalet. In countries that the grapes are not so common. And we bring grapes they imported from foreign countries, Val Piroiv and Boson, come very frequently, they're actually not ready yet, they're not totally ripe. Ein Likachoisam Sheshbem Sofik Brocha, don't take grapes which are not fully ripened yet. Don't make a broch on that. Sha'enu Yodemi Gil Pedalov, and they might not be on the stage, they can actually, they haven't reached the stage maybe of maturity that you can make a broch on them. If they're not ready, if they're not quite ready yet, you're going to make Purpri Adom on them and not Purpri Agov. And I think that's not very common nowadays, no? Have you ever seen grapes which are really not ready to make a bracha? I don't think they're marketed nowadays. Don't think that's so much of a shaila. But he says as follows. Vegam, and also, shem chamutzim. The grapes, if they're at the early stage, they're very sour. Ve'lechol dvorim chamutzim b'roshon. You're not allowed to drink, you're not allowed to eat, you're not meant to eat sour food on Rosh Hashanah. Also, the fact that it's not totally ripened yet is also not a good sign. But he says over here that a person is not meant to eat sour items on Rosh Hashanah. So you try to refrain from eating sour sticks on Rosh Hashanah, because he says sour items, you're not meant to eat sour things on Rosh Hashanah. As I think it's important, Ma'amakim over here, not to drink, not to eat sour food on Rosh Hashanah. It says, he goes even further, the Gaon also says, do not eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. So the first point was, anything that is sour, don't eat. So if grapes are sour, don't eat them, but anything else which is sour, don't eat. But the next point of the Mishnah Berurah is, in fact, grapes, never eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. Don't eat grapes. The Gaon says, not to eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. Then he says in brackets, "Va'atam al pisoit," and the reason is from the secrets of Torah, so a Kabbalistic reason. Mishnah Berurah doesn't explain what the reason is. However, apparently the reason is, it's brought down that the reason is because the Eitz Hadas, apparently, so they bring down over here, it's interesting, that the Eitz Hadas was a grape. From grapes, and since Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah, Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah, and the whole chet happened on Rosh Hashanah. So we're not trying to associate, we're not trying to make any association between grapes, which was quite a mishap, and Rosh Hashanah. We're trying to make any connection, and therefore, according to Al Pisoit, you're meant to refrain from eating grapes on Rosh Hashanah. Interestingly, apparently that's the reason as well. I saw and I heard once that's the reason why women refrain from drinking Havdalah wine on a regular Matzah Shabbos. Right? You try to convince your wife to have Havdalah wine, she's going to refuse. Right? There's Shum Pani Vofen. She's not going to have, right? Women don't have, right? Is that January the Dominic? Yeah, women will not have, right? So some, apparently, I saw that as well in some earlier sources. Apparently the reason is as well because grapes, the Eitz Hadas was grapes. It's as was grapes, and women who caused this mishap, this very great mishap. So therefore, she refrains from having wine or grape juice on Matzah Shabbos.
Yeah, because Havdalah is linked with Chava and the...
Correct. That is apparently the reason why. Commonly, women will say, what do women say why they're not having... generally, they say because if they have... Havdalah wine, the beard grows. No, that's what they generally say. Yeah, that's what they say. But that's not the real source. That's the Pardon? Wine grapes? Yes. Gaon says grapes not to have. What do you mean? Not wine and grapes. Gaon says not to have grapes on Rosh Hashanah. Wine. Wine and grape juice. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was thinking about that. Wine and grape juice itself, right? I was thinking about it. Could be that it's just because of the mitzvah element of it, the mitzvah of having kiddush, that could be, as far as the Gaon is concerned, as the Gaon itself, could be that pushed it away. But it's a good point. I was thinking about that as well. Baruch Shekivan, that the wine and grape juice that we do have.
Although they ate from it, they didn't drink from it.
Yeah. Pardon? Right, yeah, it's interesting, I agree, it's an interesting point, yeah, it's a valid point, yeah, but imagine that's what they say.
Some say it was ta'anim, it's figs, so maybe shouldn't eat figs either.
Right, so that, I don't know, this I'll be sorry, I'm not so well-versed in Kabbalah yet, yeah. Yeah, correct, 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 correct. It's one of those things that is I don't know where it comes from. And the truth is, I don't want to know where it comes from. Yeah. It's like also another thing which is similar to that is also the luchas. When we think about the luchas, we think, this is something I make sure that in my class that the boy is aware of that. There's no source whatsoever to, because that's not as bad as the apple, but there's no source, just making sure that it's, there's no source that... That, oh yeah.
Yeah. The one above
is... The one above is perfect. Well, not really, because it's shnei luchos, it's in plural. They were disconnected, so it's not quite accurate. There were two luchos, it says in plural, there were two luchos, and luchos are normally square, right? So there are two square luchos, and there's, I'm not sure. I heard once somewhere that there is a source, and one of the Rishonim who did say that. But I'm not sure, I never found anything. There is a Rikanti who does say that it might have been connected to some extent. I heard once from Afghans. I looked, I couldn't find it. But he said, B'Shem the Rikanti, that maybe they were connected to show that Benon Chaver and Benon Lemokum are really connected. You can't have one without the other. But I never found it. That's what he said, B'Shem the Rikanti. I looked into it. I could not find it. But that's what Afghans told me. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know. Right. Okay, so that's with regards to, I just thought it's an important point with regards to the grapes, that the Gaon says not to have grapes and Havdalah wine for ladies. Interesting, Moshe has a whole tshuva about it. What should a widow do? A widow with regards to Havdalah. It's a common shaila, it's a very common shaila. And I spoke once, it's a common shaila. What should a widow do on Motzei Shabbos? On regular Motzei Shabbos. Because many women are very, very makpid not to have not to have wine of Havdalah. Right, very good. But you see, that's true, and that's what the post-kingdom has to say. Chaman Medina is perfectly okay. However, there's going to be women who are still not going to have. They're not going to have any Havdalah drink. They're not going to have it. Many women are going to be very, very makbid. Very makbid. They are really very makbid. Winning women are very makbid, which is they tried to convince, and they're mamash. They're very, very, very strong-minded about that. But it's true that Chaman Medina for sure has got no makoyot to ask the lady. Certainly, there's all children that Moshe that he wants to convince a lady to she wanted rather to be yotze havdalah by phone rather than Moshe says it's a whole tshuva about it. Yeah, but with right, yeah. Sorry, you want to say something?
Paskin that you, that woman makes it, there's no one else there.
Yeah, makes it anyway. Yes, but many women are very makbid. It's a bit yeah, to a certain extent, anyway, yeah. But women are very makbid. You can't fall, if they are willing to hear, then yeah. When I was a child, we used to say the Havdalah, the youngest holds the Havdalah, right? The color should be that height, right? Have you heard that as well? Yes, you have to like hide, just yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. This I don't know if doesn't care for that either. Yeah. Okay. So that's what you got to save base, and that leads us to save Gimel. Im chal yom rishon b'Shabbos. If first day Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. Oymim Shechiyonah b'Shoifah b'Yom Shin. You're going to say Shechiyonah of the Shoifah on the second day of Hashanah. That makes a lot of sense. That's according to the Shulchan Aruch, and that's the opinion of the Sfardim that you're going to make on the second day. Rosh Hashanah falls on if the first day falls on Shabbos and the second Rosh Hashanah falls on Sunday, you're going to make Shechiyonah on the second day. What happens if the first day Rosh Hashanah falls on a regular weekday? You're going to make Shechiyonah on the first day. What about second day? You make again. Akonu Shulchan Aruch. Well, Akonu Shulchan Aruch. Probably not. You're only going to make Shechiyona, but it's Fadim. You're going to make Shechiyona on the Shofar on the first day. You're not going to make on the second day. But look what the Gemara says. V'yesh Umrido Umrafilu. Some say you even make Shechiyona Afilim Chal Yom Rishon Bechol. Even if the first day Rosh Hashanah falls on weekday, you're still going to make Shechiyona on the first day and on the second day when it comes to Shofar. That's the current minhag in those countries. That's really interesting. So the Shulchan Aruch holds, you only make Shechiyonu once. The Ramah, in other words, holds, you make Shechiyonu on the Shofar twice. On the first day, and on the second, you're going to make Shechiyonu. The Mishnah Berurah does say, in Seif Katan, Zayin. V'yesh oimum le'omroi. Haynu afilu b'loy beget chadosh v'pri chadosh. This is even if you don't have a new clothes, new garment, or new fruit. Mishum. Da hayoyim ein yointzim betkir shel esmo. Because you can't be here to yesterday's tkir. V'loy imrinu yoyim arichter. We don't necessarily yoyim arichter. V'adim nami v'birkas atkir. Birkas atkir you're going to make again. Mikol mokim nevertheless lechatchilu toiv shilpash atukia beget chadosh b'shefet. It's quite proper. Pesel Morgan Avraham says that it is proper and appropriate that the Baal Tekeah should wear a new Shechionu item on the second day in order to make Shechionu. Okay, again, if you don't, it doesn't matter. But ideally, says the Mishneh Berurah, the Baal Tekeah should wear a Shechionu cloth on the second day Rosh Hashanah. Now, I might have told you once this before. There was a Din Torah in Frankfurt many years ago in Yeshua Nufanda, because what happened was that the Baal Tekeah would always get a new garment for the shul would buy for the Baal Tekeah a new garment on the second day so he can make a Shechionu. Second day Shana he would get from shul, the Baal Tekeah would get a new suit, not mamash a suit, but whatever they would wear. And the Shaila was asked that one year. And it's a real Shaila. This was a real Shaila that one year there was a new Baal Tekeah, was only there for a number of years, and the first day fell on Shabbos. So if the first day Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, you don't need anything new for the second day. You're going to make Shechionah anyway on the second day. So, but he said that it's part of the contract. I'm a Baal Tekeah. I want my new suit. And they said, well, if you don't, there's no need for it. You can make Shechionah either way. And they said, no way. And this went up to the Din Torah. And they asked the Dayan. There was a very old Dayan called Dayan Posen Zechon Levoche. Was a Dayan in the Pshimshev for his time. And he went on after this for many, many years. Gewaltige Dayan. There was always the Rav. The Rav was more the Darshan. And then it was a Dayan who was more the Posek. That was in many Yekish Kehillahs that was the way. As opposed to in Hungary was just one formal Rav. It was always in Germany, it was always a Rav. And Dayan. And they asked the Shaila to Dayan, and that was the Shaila. What the psak was, I don't know. But I hear the Shaila. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good Shaila. Now, what do you think? No, it doesn't deserve it. It's
probably been a couple of every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They didn't think
like
of it.
Otherwise. It's like he's taking payment for it that year.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Which we said.
Payment is problematic, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now comes a fascinating Shaila. Mishneh Berurah says a fascinating Shaila. I'm just skipping the next line. It starts with the line Kohol. Kohol shesholcho le'ir acheres. A fascinating Shaila. A community which we sent to a different city. Lahav ilayim shofar. That village has no shofar. And they sent to the other, to send to a messenger to get a shofar. V'nis akem v'shliach atzofar yoyim sheni. And you know what happened? The messenger got delayed. It didn't make it for the first day altogether. And the second day got delayed and delayed and delayed until v'roish Hashanah yob yoyim hei v'yoyim v'of. Rosh Hashanah fell on Thursday. Friday. Thursday was traveling. Friday was traveling. V'kshebo'im ha'shef, when he finally got back, kvar ispadlu shel Shabbos, they'd long given up on him, and they davened Friday night tefillah. Shabbos for them. Aval hayo'od hayo'im gadol. But it was not nacht yet, as it were. It wasn't nightfall yet. But the community had davened already. Shul had davened already. What should they do? Now he has come. He's probably muddy shoes, coat probably torn up. And he's thought, yeah, I've got the shofar, I managed to bring it from the neighboring city. And there, all the Shabbos clothes, the davening, the middle of Lechododi, barges in, I've got the shofar. What should he do? Should he join Lechododi with the shofar? What should he do?
Maybe he can blow if he hasn't blown Shabbos.
He should blow. The community has accepted Shabbos.
Shabbos onto him?
Question number one. And also, can he blow? Maybe he's just a good horse rider, maybe he can't blow his shofar. Yeah? What would you suggest?
I'm saying if it's a community of course and Shabbos, can they, even though it's can they listen to something?
Can they just listen passively? They have accepted Shabbos? Can they just listen passively? Very, very fascinating. It's not Yom HaShoah anymore. It's Shabbos. Such beautiful svaros mentioned over here. Better organize next year. Yeah, it's going to serve them a lesson. So there is over here a really interesting Mishnah, which is really no gear to other areas as well. Mishnah paskins as follows. If there's nobody, no expert in blowing tkiyas, there's nobody who can blow a shofar, shall I keep it off Shabbos adayin? The only Baal Tekiah is accepted Shabbos already. Os, then, Yiska Mishakibel Shabbos, the fellow who has accepted Shabbos should blow the shofar. He has accepted Shabbos. He should blow the shofar. Beloy Brocha, without the Brocha, Velo Yiskan, he should only blow Rak Tashrat, Tashat, Vetarat, Velo Yoseh. He should do the 10 tkiyas, and no more than that. Vedavka, and only im oid ayoim godl, that's only if it's before nightfall. Aval im kva hu ben ashmosha is, but if it's after ben ashmosha is after shkia, eli skriya klal, it shouldn't blow anymore. De beyoim ashen, he's mamash quoting you now, de beyoim ashen en chiyuv litkoya. No, it's not actually, not precisely your point, but he says, de beyoim ashen en chiyuv litkoya mid rabbonon. Second day, it's only mid rabbonon anyway, if you have a sfeke drabon. Aval beyoim rishon, the chiyuv mid reise, but if this would be on the first day, where the obligation is mid reise, chab litkoya bli broche, you should blow without broche. It does say, v'le in amira la'akum, if you are going to send a goy to get it, apa ben ashmosh, de beyoim rishon mutu, you can ask a goy to get it even ben ashmosh. But going back to the first point that he makes again, so if this fellow shows up, it's not ben ashmosh, it's not nacht yet, and the fellow shows up with a shofar. The halacha is, get somebody who's accepted Shabbos already, it's fine, and he should blow the tkiyas without the brocha.
On second day also.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Even on second day, which is Rabbanan. Now, the why is that? What's pshat in that? I'm going to get back to it in a minute, Mr. Shema. Let's just get this point clear. What is it? What is it? How can that be? What is it based on?
It's so strange because we know that on first day Rosh Hashanah, normally, if it's Shabbos, we wouldn't blow. Yet now, when it's a suffix, it's second day and it's already morning Shabbos, we're letting them. It's a big. Although, you haven't got the concern anymore that someone's going to bring something to you because it's already been bought. So maybe.
So the concern is that push it. How nice. What a nice for that. That's a really big chiddush. Really nice for it. So this psak of it, what do you think about it? Interesting, no? He can blow the moon. Shabbat lechadoidi, be interrupting lechadoidi. Let me blow tkiyas. So this psak is actually based on the Taz, and the Taz is a very interesting Taz. It goes into other areas of halacha as well, because to mila, with regards to other areas. And the Taz of chiddush is based on the following concept. There is something called Kabbalah betos. If somebody is mekabel Shabbos and it was a total mistake, then imagine the following case. Imagine somebody says, "Oh, it's nearly Shabbos." In those days, there was no watches. Digitally, enhanced, radio-controlled, when it was getting dark, so we're going to be mekabel Shabbos. Imagine it's cloudy, and they think it's about time to accept Shabbos, and then they're accepting Shabbos because they think it's about half an hour before Shkia or whatever, they want to accept Shabbos. No watch, no time, and then suddenly the clouds go away. And they say, "Oh no, it's ages to go, and killing me. We still want to work. We still want to do this and that and the other. Let me just." So what's the halacha then? So the halacha then is that this was a kabbalah betos. It was acceptance of Shabbos betos. It was a mistake. Had I known that it's still that early, I wouldn't have accepted Shabbos. I don't want to accept Shabbos 2 hours before. I'm not interested now. So therefore, the halacha is acceptance like this is not considered acceptance, and you can keep going normal. Go and go back into your car. No problem. That's called a Kabbalah Betos. And this applies to many areas as well. When you're accepting Shabbos, it was a total mistake, the Kabbalah Shabbos is nullified. You didn't actually make a bracha. Which bracha did you make? Oh, lighting candles. I'm not referring to candles. You're quite right. If you're lighting candles, it's a bit more. You're 100% right. Lighting candles is very controversial. I'm not referring to that. I'm not talking about him. He's made Kiddush either. He's in shul. He said Kapit Lechov Teilim. He hasn't really, he has accepted Shabbos. He said Lechodoidi. He said Mizmoy. But he hasn't actually made a bracha as far as that is concerned.
Didn't have the meter yet.
Correct. Correct. You know what? A meter could be he has. Could be he has. Could even be he has. Let's not go into that. Could be he has. But the halacha is that it's considered Kabbalah Shabbos. Consequently, says the Taz, over here, Kabbalah, had I known the shofar was still going to get here, I wouldn't have accepted Shabbos. I thought we were not going to make it. Says the Taz, you don't have to be, you can just blow the shofar and that's it. However, it says, with regards to the bracha, it says, bracha is just it just looks wrong. You're not going to start making a bracha with tkiyas shofar and then afterwards they're all, you know, they're all in the middle of lechadoidi. It just doesn't make sense to make a bracha. Partially to do what you're saying as well, that you want to, I'm not saying penalize them, but if they get away with the whole bracha and all the tkiyas beautifully, they're not going to sort themselves out next year. That's the point that you are making. So don't let them make a bracha, says the Taz. Don't let them make a bracha, but they should make the tkiyas. How many tkiyas? What does it sound like from this Mishnah Berurah over here? How many tkiyas is he going to make? It sounds like 10. Tashrat, Tarat, Tashrat, Tashrat, and Tarat. 10 tkiyas. Does 10 tkiyas get us really far? Yeah, it doesn't really get us that far. 10 tkiyas doesn't get us that far. Pardon? He works in a hospital, so why should he not work in on that difficult circumstance? So the MSA is, some say, when I looked into the Matir Frame, it certainly looked like Taketen Tkiyas, and that's what it looks like in Mishnah Berurah as well. He says, Tashrat, Tashat, Vetarat, Velo Yoyseh, not more. That's what it certainly sounds like. Some want to learn, it can't mean 10, because with 10 you haven't really solved much of the problem, go for 30. How, they want to learn that in the Mishnah Berurah as well, I don't really see it in the words, because Lo Yoyseh means no more. Like, it's true, when you give a kid one sweet and you say no more, he knows very well that he don't mean no more. So maybe over here as well, it doesn't mean mamash no more. But pashtas, it means no more. It means 10 and no more. But some achronim want to learn that it actually doesn't mean 10. It could mean 30. It could mean 30. Right. Just going, so that's the halacha, what the halacha is stated over here. I must just go back to your point over here. What's the end of here? What is he referring to? Ben Ashmash? Over here, the halacha is that you're allowed to, basically, if you want to ask a goy to get a shofar, although there's some isur d'rabban involved, you can do that as well. So you can ask a goy to do melachas for getting a shofar. That's the point he's made over here. And we're going to start. I know it's only a couple of minutes left, but I want to start Siman Tov Reish Aleph.
Didn't we say before that Shvus?
Yes. So over here, we're talking about Shvus to Shvus Pashtus. Why is it the Reise? Why do you see it as the Reise?
Because you said even if you could ask me to do melachas.
No, I wasn't referring to necessarily that. It could be it actually is. But don't be medaik me that much. The Emma says, halacha could be it is because the Tzorich Rabbim were matir d'raisa as well. But I wasn't, don't be medaik me that much, yeah. Okay, just maybe as a footnote, just before we, just very briefly, there is a bit of a shy that some poskim point out, you know, tefilas kelim, imagine you need a vessel for, I need to tovel it. What happens if you need it for Shabbos and you forgot to tovel it? You know, you've got a challah knife. Say a challah knife was produced by a goyim and needs tefillah kelim. I think often the Yidden made, but let's say you need a challah knife and you need it for Shabbos. You just need it for Shabbos and you forgot to tovel it. Okay, well, can you tovel on Shabbos? Benishmosh, you can. Can you tovel on Shabbos? Not when it's proper Shabbos. So Tefillas Kelim generally, you're right, Rabbi Nashmos, it's a bit of an issue, but you're right, Tefillas Kelim. But generally, if I'm talking about Shabbos itself, you know how Tefillas Kelim is an Issa D'Rabbanon. However, if you need it desperately, you really need it, there's a heter, you're allowed to do it. If there's nothing else, you're allowed to do it. The question that some Rabbi Shem Zaman asked, that over there, you're allowed to tovel it, and you're allowed to make a brocha as well. So they want to ask, if you're allowed to make a brocha then, why can't you make a brocha over here on Tkiyas Shofar as well? That's a bit of a question. But let's leave this on set. I just want to start the first line of it because of the Seder Yom Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah. B'Yom Sheni Mispalim Kom B'Yom Rishon. Second day we daven exactly like the first day. V'Kirim Elokim Nisos Avram. We read the Elokim Nisos Avram. That's what we line. Atzeif Sitron until the end. Umaftir V'Kirim Kmo Esmal. And we do Haftorah like yet the first day, Umafti Beirmiya, and we so the after of Kemar Hashem Motzachem Bamidbar, Ad Haben Yakil Yefraim. That's what we say. We say this with Motzer Rosh Hashanah, Mavdinim Kmo Motzer Shabbos. Havdol is also identical to regular Motzer Shabbos. Elosh El Mevorchin Al Psomim V'Al Eish. We don't make psomim and we don't make fire. And finally, Seif Beis Af Beretz Yisrael Oisim Rosh Hashanah Shnei Yomim Rosh on in Eretz Yisrael as well. We make Rosh Hashanah 2 days.